welcome, welcome to The Intersection on this Thursday night. Well, hopefully we are recording and everything shows that it's going well. But last night I went to upload our file so that people could hear this after the show ends, and nothing was there. It stopped recording 3 seconds in, and so no show to upload last night. So hopefully things go better tonight. Technical difficulties are technical difficulties, and they just happen all the time. It's what we deal with. But oh well. It's been an interesting day, I have to say. Always is. An interesting thing happened that got glossed over, and that was that the Trump administration required the people that were away from their desks or from their jobs because of the shutdown to blame it on the Democrats. Now, once again, Republicans control every branch of government right now. They control the House. They control the Senate. They control the White House. And, unofficially, because it's not supposed to be a Democrat or Republican, Democratic or Republican Supreme Court, they control the Supreme Court as well. And the Supreme Court's letting them get away with it's unbelievable illegal, unconstitutional moves on the daily. And it's just shocking. Absolutely shocking. But these things, they were all in Project 2025. And we tried to warn you. I tried to warn you for certain. But the campaign of former Vice President Harris, they tried to warn you too. Well, here comes Alan. And welcome to the show, Alan. I was just talking about a little reported thing that happened during the shutdown. And that was, you know, when we're away from our desks, when you're a professional, you leave a message. And it is typical during a session, you know, on your voicemail, right? And it is typical during a shutdown to say, we are away currently due to the shutdown, but we will return when the government resumes. But the Trump administration required everyone to end their away from the desk email and voicemail response, blame it on the Democrats. Now, the last time I checked, the Republicans controlled everything. So how can it be the Democrats' fault?
Yeah, I heard this on the news earlier today, too. I find that sad.
And it's petty, and it's gross. It's utterly gross.
Nothing surprises me.
No, nothing surprises me, and everything was in Project 2025, and we tried to tell people about Project 2025, and if you present people that are loyal to this cult with, you know, here's what they're doing. Look, it's right there. They, you know, la 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 la. I see nothing, I hear nothing. There's Sergeant Schultz all of a sudden. That's an old reference for older people. There used to be a show called Hogan's Heroes. It was a comedy set in a prisoner of war camp in Germany. If you can imagine. And actually one of the actors on that show who played one of the prisoners, who played LeBeau on that show, was in fact someone who survived the prison camps. But all of the big German roles were played by Jews, which I love. And so the actor that played Sergeant Schultz, and the actor that played Colonel Klink, and the actor that played Burkhalter. Whoop, where'd you go?
I'll be back.
Okay. Those were all played by Jews. But whenever Hogan and company would do something that Schultz wasn't supposed to notice, he would say, "I see nothing. I know nothing." And that's come to be the response of all these people surrounding the Trump administration and all of these, all the Republicans and all the people that support them. You know, we just don't see it. Epstein? What? Epstein? Who? Epstein? You know, and Howard Lutnick in an interview today kind of revealed a little too much. And said, "Oh, well, yeah, he lived next to me, and he invited us in a tour of his house, and he had this massage table in the middle of his house." And I was like, why do you have a massage table in the middle of your house?" And he said, "Because I get massages every day, and it's the good time." I'm looking at the wrong thing. I got distracted by technical things. We had some technical problems last night. Wait. Oh, okay. All right. Everything looks all right. I've become a little paranoid when it comes to technical stuff, I have to say. Because last night, everything looked like it was going just fine. And my window on the encoder, it was saying the stream time. It didn't say idle. And it showed all the way up to an hour of stream time. And then when I went to upload the file, I noticed in the little message section there was something about the recording stopping at 3 seconds and there was an only 1K file. So I'm a little paranoid now. I'm watching what the text in that box, because you know, it still says it's recording. It doesn't say anything has stopped. So hopefully we'll get to the end of tonight and everything will be fine. But where are the rest of your friends? Where are the rest of our panelists tonight? I know.
You saw the message from Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie is umpiring tonight. So he might be late. But where's Wayne? Whatever happened? The rest of the folks that used to come in. Where's Ray? Where's Brian? Come back, Brian. Come back, Charlene. Come back, Diana. You know, maybe I need to send a message to some of the folks that occasionally come. I've had people that were guests on Political Musings that have occasionally come on here, and I'd love to get some of them back too.
Yeah, maybe if you change what you do. I don't know how to put this. I mean, a lot of these people have complained about some of the subject, the trivia being really difficult. Which is okay with me because it gives me a chance to bring in you know who. No. Some of the trivia things you do, like you ask us if we wanted to do this or that or this last night, and we all chose just regular trivia because the other two that you mentioned, the like, who are you, one of these four things or something, I can't remember exactly.
If you were in Geek Out.
Yeah, we've talked amongst ourselves and nobody likes it, you know, and stuff. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't think that's why people are not showing up. I don't know why people are not showing up, to tell you the truth. It's a fun show. You know, if it was a waste of time, I wouldn't be here. I don't know. Wayne doesn't usually come on until 10 or 15 after, and I usually don't either. And I'm sitting in front of the computer and I could start a project, but then I wouldn't get on the show at all. So I just put the project off. There's nothing hurry about it. I'll wait. We'll get on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you chose one night and talk politics and one night trivia and one night, I don't know what else, you know, just mix up the show a little bit.
Well,
this is late for Brian. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock here in California. And so, I've asked Brian several times, why don't you get back on Amy's show? Yeah, it's too late for me. And it's this, that, and the other. He doesn't work. He's retired. I don't know why. He says he liked the show, but it was getting too late for him.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I understand that when you're like Wayne or somebody from the East Coast, when it's midnight already, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the East Coast, it's midnight here in the Central Time Zone, which is, you know, Texas up to Chicago, up to Illinois. Well, it's 11 p.m. when we start.
Yeah, I know. I don't really have an answer. I mean, there some of the trivia that you do, we don't really like, but that's okay. It's your show. I don't want to tell you how to run your show. I just told you what a couple of us have talked about on a couple of the things. I like the trivia, even if I don't get a lot of the answers right, because it's kind of a learning experience, too. Somebody said to me that doesn't get on the show anymore and is not Brian, the show is not as exciting as Alex's show. You know, they're two different types of shows. I mean, there's a million podcasts out there. Do you go to a lot of other ones and say, oh, I don't like this one because it's not like Alex's show? You can't really compare it. You guys happen to know each other, and we know Alex and stuff, but his show, he's been in the business his whole life for, you know, since God was created, you know, and he has a whole different group of, you know, people that come on the show that are interesting. But why they don't come to this show, I don't know.
Well, some of them used to.
Well, you know, I'm surprised Diana doesn't get on the show. I mean,
I think Diana got upset because, vaccines.
Yeah, probably. And I think Charlene got upset when we weren't all crying over the passing of Jack, and she's never
actually,
met Jack.
That's not what happened.
Oh, okay.
What happened was she kept interrupting everybody, and I asked her to please stop interrupting people. And I said, you've never, and she thought, I think, that she was banned, and I was like, I didn't ask you to leave that night. I asked you to just please stop interrupting people. That's all I asked. Be polite. That's all I require.
I have a habit of doing that sometimes, and you tell me to shut up, and I'm fine with that, you know? sometimes my mouth thinks quicker than my mind. But I don't know. I when I talked to her, she said, you know, I said I was never coming back on the show again because you guys aren't all crying over Jack. Well, I like Jack. I talk to Jack on the phone all the time. I never met him in person. I've never met you in person. I've never met Alex in person, but
I've actually I've met Charlie. I've met Charlene. I've met Diana. And I've met Alex all in person. And Jack was one of my closest friends.
Right. And you didn't, you were just trying to do a show. We were all sad that Jack passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was sad because I had, you know, we would talk every week or every 2 weeks on the phone for an hour and just gab, you know, about what he's doing, what I'm doing. And so I missed that. But I guess I didn't realize he was that ill. So
I knew he was. I knew he was.
Yeah, you did, because you know him a lot better than the
Seeing him on a regular basis. Right.
That's right. I didn't realize that he never really said to me that, you know, I'm really sick and I might not be around much longer or anything to that line. So it kind of caught me by surprise. You know, people come and people go. People die, you know, mm-hmm. and they're no longer on the shows anymore. But, you know, Jack was an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And I was sad. I mean, I wasn't as upset as Charlene was over it. But, you know, she said on the show, "This is it. I'm never coming back again." And that's what I remember about why she doesn't come back.
Yeah, but no, it was because she was interrupting everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, she does that.
Oh, here comes Charlie.
She still does that on Alex's show, and he's got to tell her to shut up sometimes. It's Charlie. Maybe Charlie has some reasons why people are not showing up here.
Oh, I don't know any reasons.
Okay. And we were talking about, I mean, you know, you and me and Wayne are the ones that are here almost every night.
If Wayne doesn't
sleep. I sent Wayne a text. I'm getting on the show. I'll send him another text now.
He's probably sleeping.
Yeah, he probably fell asleep.
Well, he won't be in a minute. I'll just call.
Be sure to mute your microphone when you do. Well, we've got, you know, the three of us here, so we can start trivia.
Okay.
And I, you know, you talked about we're going to do politics one night. I start out with politics because I've got no one to talk to. And so yeah. I can't do trivia with myself. It's a little boring.
It doesn't quite work.
I need at least one other person. And then, you know, like I do geek out when it's just me and Charlie. Because, again, if there's only one person, trivia doesn't quite work. So, you know, when we do geek out, I can play along because I don't have the answers in front of me. I tried to do the Dare to be Stupid trivia, which is political trivia.
Yeah.
Once every week or two. And I try to collect new questions. I have to say, one of my favorite shows now is Have I Got News for You?
Mm.
Which is on CNN on Saturday nights. And I watch it on HBO Max.
Okay.
But you can go to YouTube and watch most of the show there.
You guys have seen a lot more shows, a lot more music than I've ever been interested in. Jack was the same way with music. A lot of things I was lost in, and that's okay. I mean, I learned a lot about Jack Benny from him that mm-hmm. I never knew. Yep. And so,
well, have I got news for you? Is a quiz show hosted by comedians. Comedians play, and it's about the news. Basically, it's a little like if you're a fan of NPR, it's a little like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, only a little funnier, a little more.
Yeah, I don't watch NPR.
Yeah. And, nobody watches NPR.
National Public. I don't listen to NPR. very often. So, okay, I'll change that.
Well, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me has been on for years and years, and it's a weekend show.
Yep.
I don't know why Diane, if you say it's over the vaccine, I think, you know, okay, we're not all going to agree on the same thing. We treated her like, you know, like one of us, and okay, yeah, you know, we, you know, I guess we said a little too much maybe in there, and she was in the chat, but that's how we feel about vaccines, and she felt differently, but we weren't putting her down for her feelings. We were just putting our feelings out there. And so I'm sorry that that's the reason that she doesn't come on. Not Charlene, but Diana. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get to trivia.
Okay.
All right. The current category is Bob Dylan. Oh, and I guess okay. I better put on my glasses. So I can read the screen quite well. I now have 20/20 in both eyes if it's a distance. Actually, it doesn't even Yeah, it doesn't have to be that far away even. I can read the computer screen. I just can't read these cards because they're a little too close.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that I've never had the eye surgery, and I wear glasses. And I have to take my glasses off to read print, small print. They're what do you call it, progressive. And yeah. So when I put my eyes down like this and look at something, it hurts my neck to read like this. So I just take my glasses off and I can see print. So
I do the opposite now, as I only put them on to read small print up close.
Yep.
All righty. According to Dylan, on what highway does God tell Abraham to kill his son?
Highway to Hell? I don't know.
That's AC/DC. Yeah. Highway 61. It runs through Duluth, Minnesota, Dylan's birthplace.
Ah.
Yeah, I know very little about him. I know who he is.
Yeah, me too.
At least I know who he is.
All right. Who plays the female incarnation of Bob Dylan in I'm Not There?
I don't know. Never seen it.
Cate Blanchett.
Okay.
2007 film, Heath Ledger, Christian Bale, and three others played versions of Dylan. Whose 1968 cover, oh, this one I know, All Along the Watchtower, did Dylan say he preferred to his own version? It's a very famous one. Electric guitar player, was famously at Woodstock. Played.
I'm going to guess.
Jerry Garcia.
No.
No, Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix is correct. Hendrix released the track on his 1968 album, Electric Ladyland.
Yep.
Never heard of it.
I bet you've heard it.
Good about having Charlie here.
You probably just don't know it by the name. I bet if you heard it's one of those songs that if you heard it, you know it.
Yeah, you know the song.
I have 100 songs or so that I really like a lot on my iPhone, but very few of them I can tell you just by listening to the song. Like The Doors, I can tell you, and you know, Phantom of the Opera, I can tell you who's singing, but. A lot of the music I like, I just don't pay attention to, you know, who the singers are. I just like the music, and I download it and put it on my phone. So
well, the Jimi Hendrix version of All Along the Watchtowers is classic Jimi Hendrix. It's like everybody knows that Jimi Hendrix song. But if I hadn't used it in political musings, I wouldn't know that was the name of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I think it's mentioned in one line of the song, All Along the Watchtower, but that it's not a refrain in the song.
No.
All right. In a famous poem, Dylan Thomas, extols his father not to go gentle into what?
The good night.
Yep, that good night.
That good night. Dylan took his last name from the poet.
Okay.
So Bob Dylan is Bob, was not born Bob Dylan.
No.
He became Bob Dylan, and the Dylan came from Dylan Thomas.
Yep.
What song with a rural setting in its title has Dylan repeatedly sang he ain't gonna work there no more? I ain't gonna work on
the railroad.
Mm-mm.
I have no idea.
Blank, blank, no. Maggie's Farm. Ain't gonna work on Maggie's Farm no more. For starters, Maggie's paw puts his cigar out in your face just for kicks. That's a quote from the song. All right, what hair color appears twice in the title of Dylan's 1966 double album?
What hair color?
Mm-hmm.
Brown hair?
Blonde hair.
Blonde. Blonde okay. On blonde. Is the title of the album.
Yeah, true.
Includes I Want You and Just Neither Like a Woman.
I was just guessing hair colors.
Yeah.
That seemed the most obvious.
Yeah.
Because brown wouldn't necessarily be a hair color. When you say blonde, you're talking about hair. Black wouldn't be a hair color necessarily.
Why?
Because black is generally thought of as a color. Brown is thought of as a color. But blonde is a hair color. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of things are black or brown. But,
or red, yeah.
Yeah, or red. But generally speaking, when you say blonde, you're referring to hair.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
All right. Yep. Next category is Seeing Double. What Washington State town is known for its sweet onions, wines, and penitentiary?
That would be Walla Walla, Washington.
That is correct. The unofficial town slogan, the town so nice they named it twice.
Yep.
What character did Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen co-play on Full House?
Oh, God.
I know. If I was the one... I watched that show when it first came on.
My kids made me watch that show.
Uh-huh. That's same here. Michelle Tanner.
That was it, Michelle. Yeah, I keep thinking of them, Mary Kate and Ashley.
Yeah, I know.
Think about them as Michelle anymore.
I know. I had the same problem. Who was Sirhan Sirhan convicted of assassinating in
1968? RFK.
That is correct. Senior. Obviously, Junior still plaguing us.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
What Kurt Vonnegut novel quotes the verse, "My name is Jon Jonsson, I work in Wisconsin"?
Slaughterhouse-Five.
Slaughterhouse-Five is correct. What does the sapiens in Homo sapiens? Sapiens.
Human.
No, it means wise.
Wise. That is correct. No. Wise or intelligent.
Homo is human.
I will never forget learning about Homo sapiens in science class in school. I think I was in fifth grade. And my friend Ann Scott said to me, "Do you know what homos are? Homos are boys who kiss boys, and lesbies are girls who kiss girls." And my mother nearly wrecked the car with three of us kids in it because I said that Homo sapiens were boys who kiss boys. It's funny, the little things that you remember, but I even remember where we were driving when that happened.
Somewhere in Texas.
Oh, we were near Baptist Hospital near the corner where there was a circle then. There was a traffic circle there of 11th Street and College. That's how specific my memory is of this. Wow.
It's weird. What'd you have for dinner last Sunday?
I couldn't tell you.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what I had for dinner yesterday.
You mentioned something a few questions back about something about his father burned his face with a cigar. I was gonna say you never want to smoke marijuana while you're smoking a cigar. I picked up the cigar the wrong way one time. Wow, that burned. I mean, that's going to leave a mark, you know?
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's not like that's an important memory. You know, yeah, I understand.
It's important
what, to me. No, I mean the Homo sapiens thing.
Right.
Yeah, like I understand. There's a reason why you remember burning your mouth. There was a physical pain that went with it, and that's a thing that you need to remember. You know, people remembering where they were when Kennedy was shot, or when the towers went down, or you know.
Yeah.
But why do I have such a clear memory of this? That is the thing that will always stump me.
Maybe it scared you that she almost wrecked the car.
No. She didn't. Yeah. I mean, I'm exaggerating. But we all burst out laughing. Everyone burst out laughing so hard. That's why I say the mom almost wrecked the car. It was because we're laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't laughing. I was genuinely confused. But it's a weird thing to remember in detail.
You weren't even smoking weed.
And I wasn't even smoking weed. I was not at all high.
You know, the worst part about that for me is explain to my mother how I got the burn. I was 16 when it happened. She said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, I took a drink of hot chocolate and it was a little hotter than I thought." My mother says, "That's not the way a chocolate would burn your mouth."
All right. Last question in this category. What children's game involves making plastic creatures gobble marbles at top speed? I remember
gobble
this
marbles?
Game. Yes.
Children's game.
Hungry, hungry hippo.
That is correct. You know, I always wanted one of those, but I didn't have one.
Oh, my kids love that. They went crazy over it.
Boy, I miss this having kids. If I had kids, look at all the extra questions I'd get right.
Well, I remember when I was a kid and that game came out and thinking, you know, I think I had a friend or two that had it.
Mm. When I was a kid, we played Yahtzee and Monopoly only.
Is that it?
Yeah,
I don't remember playing any other games.
Oh, we had
Sorry.
What?
Sorry, you don't remember playing Sorry? That was another game we used to play.
Sorry, Clue. We played Clue. We played Life.
Never played it. Yeah.
Strakigo. Mm-hmm. What was the What was the one? Mystery Date.
Oh, no, I never played that.
You never played Mystery Date?
I like the idea, though.
That was, what are some of the other ones? Oh, Mousetrap.
I remember that.
We didn't have it, but I loved it.
The little plastic mouse went around eating things, no?
The mouse, you try, the trap would fall down and catch the mouse. There was a little plastic cage that would catch the plastic mouse. We had a couple of bookshelf games, too. We had Ploy and Acquire.
I don't remember those.
We had a pool table when I was a kid.
We did that, too.
And I have a pool table. It collects a lot of dust. It's got a heavy cover on it. It collects a lot of everything now.
Yeah, we never had a pool table. I didn't play pool until college. The dorm had a pool table.
Well, my dad was trying to win my affection right after my parents separated. And he bought the house two doors down from ours. And he put in it a little pool table, which had one corner was slightly lower. So I learned that if I got the ball toward that corner, it would go in.
You know, a lot of people, when they learn that, they prop that up without saying anything to anybody else. Stick a book of matches, something that we don't see anymore, underneath the cover.
But I couldn't cheat.
I have a $6,000 to $6,000 oak pool table, and the guy's got the thing that makes sure it's level, I guess is what it's called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On top of it, and he says, darn, this corner's a little low. He took a book of matches and put them under the corner leg and leveled the table.
Yeah.
Yep.
The table's been there for 25 years, huh?
Well, this was a cheap and somewhat small pool table, and then there was an air hockey and a ping pong table.
I used to love the air hockey, yeah.
And a pong. The first console that just played
on pong, your TV.
And I think there was Breakout, but it just, you know, boop, 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 that's all it did.
That was the first
hundreds of hours of watching that little ball bounce back and forth.
Yes.
I played Pong on my TV we had a TV set and my father hooked it up to the antenna or some damn thing and we'd sit there with the console and that was entertainment.
Oh, that was big time, you know, video games that we had our own video games at home. That was a big deal.
Yeah,
all right.
You guys both grew up in a rich household. My father wasn't a doctor. Well, he had a PhD.
I don't know about rich, but it was better off than the middle class. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. We were upper middle class.
Yeah.
My father had a PhD in electrical engineering, and so.
But we might have been rich if my dad didn't gamble on the horses.
Oh.
We might have been rich if my dad didn't fool around all the time.
Oh, yeah. Arlington Racetrack in Chicago. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, my dad. Half my
college education was spent there. I mean, the money for it was spent there.
That's not the kind of gambling my dad did. My dad had a thing for con men. And the con men saw the doctor's building as like gravy. They would go through the doctor's building, and my mother knew anytime she said, anytime my dad said everyone in the doctor's building is investing in it, she knew was a bad investment.
Yeah.
That's
funny. All right. A new category. Category is Disney. Which country is not represented at Epcot's World Showcase? China, France, Morocco, or Spain?
Spain.
Spain is correct.
Wow. I was gonna say China. Wow.
I was gonna ask for the question to be reread.
Name four of the seven dwarfs who live with Snow White.
Droopy,
Happy, Sneezy, Doc, and Dopey.
There you go.
It wasn't Droopy. Oh,
there's no Droopy. There's Dopey.
Dopey. Oh.
Bashful.
Bashful, yeah.
And Sleepy and Sneezy.
And Sleepy.
All right. Which came first, Disneyland, Disney World, or Disneyland Paris?
Disneyland.
Disneyland was first.
In Southern California.
I remember going to Disneyland as a kid.
I do too. It's a little closer for me than it was for you. It's only 400 miles.
It was not very close to Chicago, no.
No? No.
Well, yeah, it was not close to Beaumont, Texas either.
Right. No.
It was a long way. It's just, the only difference between the distance between Chicago and Beaumont was Chicago was further north.
You know, in those day Disneyland it was cheap. I think it was like $20 or $25 to get in.
Oh, it was real, yeah.
You know, nowadays it's a week's pay to get your family. Yeah.
Well, and you had tickets for different kinds of tickets for different kinds of rides.
Yeah. And that's where the e-ticket ride came out.
Right, the e-ticket. The
scariest ones, yeah. So, when you watch some of these roller coasters nowadays that do a corkscrew, I say that's an e-ticket ride. I'm not kidding.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, corkscrew is nothing now on some of those.
Some of them you stand up and your legs dangle, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to make people throw up on those rides.
Uh-huh.
It worked. It's always gross when you're standing down below watching your friends go through the corkscrew, and they get off and they go, that was fun, let's do it again. And I'm like, oh, okay.
No thanks.
Because even at a young age, I didn't like heights, so I didn't like going way up in the air on a regular roller coaster. They didn't have corkscrews in those days, but I would get on the waterlog ride.
Yeah, I like the waterlog ride.
The waterlog ride got up as high as the highest roller coaster, but you have a false sense of security. You look over and you're looking at a trough of water.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, the trough wasn't up high. The trough was in a mound. So you always felt like you were next to the ground, like you weren't going to fall.
That's right.
So even when it went up, it was still on the ground.
That's what I'm saying. If I looked over the trough, I wouldn't like I've been on roller coasters, but not very often. You look over and you're like, my God, That's a long ways down there, but in a water log, you're in it. You look over, and I'm like, oh, I'm in a trough of water. It's like you're on the ground.
Yeah, I like the log ride, but when I was in junior high, my friends would drag me on all of those rides, and then when we moved up to Dallas, the youth group had a Six Flags weekend every year. And we would go to Six Flags pretty often, so I had to learn how to ride those scary rides. At my feet. One of the things that I did was, when you're in those, not one of those. I never did the ones where your feet dangle. That's crazy.
Those are.
But I would look at my feet. I would watch my feet. That was one of the things that I would do.
Yep. The ones I couldn't stand were the ones that where you're part of the ride, you're actually upside down. That's where the crap.
I never got on those. And you see on YouTube videos of these rides getting stuck in the upside down position, and they got to take people off with a fire truck and I'm like, not me, baby.
No,
I am not going through one of these things.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm talking about Disneyland.
I can't even, you know, bend over and have my head lower than my hips without getting dizzy now. So.
Yeah, I was at Disneyland once with some friends, and they loved roller coasters. I'm like, I'm not going on them. Well, you ought to go to Space Mountain. And they said it's fun, fast ride. You like fast things. And I believed them, but they didn't tell me it was a pitch black indoor roller coaster.
Yeah.
Although I couldn't see how high up we were, you sure got a weird sensation not knowing where the next turn is, not knowing where the next drop is. I got off that and I wanted to strangle my friend. Although I did have fun because it was, you know, you hear the click, click, click is the mechanical thing is taking the ride up in the air. And I'm like, why are we going up like this? It sounds like a roller coaster. That's not a roller coaster.
Well,
it's in a building. It's pitch black in there.
Well, the interesting thing at Disneyland, if you ride It's a Small World, you will see the people on that ride. It's called Magic Mountain.
The Matterhorn.
Matterhorn. Yeah.
I've been on that. That gets up there too. That's high. It's like a mountain. And you get these little things that seat four people. And in order to go up to the
Space
top of the mountain,
you
go in the middle of the ride. Yep. You go up straight up in this thing. And then it drops you down. You spin and you go in and out of the mountain as you go down.
Yeah.
I had fun with that because I really didn't even though I knew we were high in the air. You don't get to see a lot of the ground because you're twisting and turning and you're in and out of the mountain. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember seeing that as you go through It's a Small World. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
One of the things I remember is, of course, nowadays it would be like just weird to even know this, is the days that you used to go to the AT&T or whatever it was, would put on a thing where you could pick up a telephone and talk to your family member on the other side of the room and see each other as you're talking.
Wow.
You know, because it was something state of the art that you couldn't talk to somebody on the phone and see them on this TV screen that they had. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was just a camera and, you know, and stuff. Nowadays we do it on phones all the time. We do it here, you know?
Yeah. I think about the Carol Burnett show. That was they did a skit about the video phones.
Right, video phone, right.
All right, where are we? What is the term for the individual pieces of artwork that together form an animated cartoon film?
Artwork.
The individual pieces of art.
I don't know. They're sketches, aren't they?
They're called cells, aren't they?
Yes. Disney cells are a hot item at auction.
I'll bet. You used to look through a little viewer and you could... And they would move slowly and the cards would flip over like a Rolodex. And the picture would be slightly different on each one.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you were an engineer working for Disney, what would your title be?
My title be...
Oh, what did they call them?
I guess I would be called supervisor.
No, they call them.
What did they call them? They had a name for them?
Mm-hmm. They have, yeah, it's like cast member or something like that. No? I'm going to give up then.
The clue is in the question. If you were an engineer working for Disney, what would your title be?
Was this the train?
What did they call engineers at Disney?
Train engineers.
Engineers. I don't know.
Imagineers.
Imagineers. Oh, okay.
Imagineers.
What 1992 Disney movie inspired a real-life Disney-owned NHL team?
Oh! The Mighty Ducks!
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
All right, new category is Brad Pitt. What spiritual leader does Brad Pitt's character befriend in the film 7 Years in Tibet?
The Dalai Lama, I would guess.
And that is correct.
Yeah,
name Pitt's two feature films that have the number 12 in the title.
Twelve Monkeys? I don't know.
That's one of them.
And the other one is 12 Days in Mar-a-Lago. Now, I don't know. These are complicated.
There's one.
12 Days in Tibet.
No. Oh. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. A lot of folks in it. The original starred the Rat Pack. And there was the first one is the name of the one that the Rat Pack starred in. But then the sequel had 12 in the title.
It was Ocean's 12.
There you go. So Ocean's 12 Monkeys 11, and Ocean's
12. Yeah, okay.
What part did Pitt injure? What body part did Pitt injure while filming the role of Achilles in Troy?
His heel?
That's what I was going to say. The Achilles heel?
The Achilles tendon.
Tendon,
sure.
What 2008 Brad Pitt movie was inspired by an F. Scott Fitzgerald story?
Interview with a Dragon. Interview with a Vampire.
No. That's Anne Rice.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do I know?
Where the guy ages backwards.
Oh.
Back to the Future.
The Curious Story of Benjamin Button or something like that.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Wow. Yeah. Never heard of that.
The movie won an Academy Award for visual effect.
Yeah, that was a really good movie, actually.
Mm-hmm. Who else starred in it, Charlie? A really good movie.
That was a long time. 2008 was a long time ago.
It was.
What natural disaster inspired Brad Pitt to hold an international architectural competition? What natural disaster inspired Brad Pitt to hold an international architectural competition? Natural disaster from 2005, followed by a similar natural disaster nearby.
Earthquake?
A month later.
Okay.
In the fall.
Tsunami.
No.
No. Wasn't it?
And the second one hit my hometown.
Well, it hurt. Really?
Where's my hometown?
Beaumont.
Uh-huh. What natural disasters hit Beaumont?
Well, I think it was hurricanes.
Exactly. Yeah. So what natural disaster inspired...
Hurricanes.
What hurricane?
Katrina.
There you go. I knew I could talk you through it.
2005?
That was 2005.
Yeah. Because we went to Disney World in 2006 and drove through New Orleans, and it was still all trashed from the hurricane. Wow.
Yeah, I was in Crawford, camped out with Cindy Sheehan when Hurricane Katrina hit. And then we made a plan, everybody that was in Crawford, to go to, in September, the next month, because it hit in August, to D.C. for a big march, a big peace march. And while I was in D.C. for the peace march, Hurricane Rita hit Beaumont. Now, I didn't live there anymore, but I still have a sister there. I am just hoping
we don't have any big natural disasters while this administration's going on.
Oh, we're screwed if we do.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, we already had the floods in Kerrville.
Yeah. Look how we responded to that. Nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing. He doesn't believe in FEMA. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't believe in anything that he's not making money off of.
Yep.
Exactly.
Or his friends. Yep. Brad Pitt learned to ride horseback for what movie? Legends of the
Fall. Troy.
Legends of the Fall. Mm-hmm. That was one of his earliest movies.
Yeah.
All right. New category, the alphabet. What city contains a neighborhood known as Alphabet City?
I can't remember. But
it's a really big one.
Chicago.
Nope.
New York.
No, I would probably remember that.
Yeah, New York. That's New York. Alphabet City is named for its avenues A, B, C, and D.
Ah.
What band released the popular children's album Here Comes the ABCs in 2005? They might be Giants. Is that a Texas band? I feel like that's a Texas band, like an Austin band.
I don't even know that.
What big government program created a number of agencies derided by critics as alphabet soup? What big government program created a number of agencies derided by critics as alphabet soup?
The New Deal.
The New Deal is correct. The ABC book of what author includes Silly Sammy Slick, who sipped six sodas and got sick? What author?
Not a clue.
No, I don't know either.
Oh, come on. Listen to it again. Listen to the quote again. Silly Sammy Slick sipped six sodas and got sick. Who does that sound like? What author?
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is correct. In his Dr. Seuss's ABCs, what alphabet includes... Oh, God, I don't even know what those are. I'm going to skip that question.
Mm-hmm.
What insurance company did NBA All-Star spell in their 2009 competition instead of the traditional horse?
Aetna?
Geico.
Oh, Geico. I knew it was five letters.
Yep. All right. This will be our last category. Category is track and field. What country does Usain Bolt run for?
That would be Jamaica.
Correct. What Academy Award-winning film is often parodied for its extended slow-motion footage of runners?
Chariots of the Gods.
You started out correctly.
Chariots of Fire?
Chariots of Fire,
yeah.
There you go. What Big Ten University did Olympic star Jesse Owens attend?
He was a runner, right?
Yeah, he was a track and field guy. So.
Right.
I feel like it's got to be something like Michigan or Ohio State.
Ohio State is correct.
Oh, okay.
We're going to finish off.
What you missed?
We're out of time, but we're going to finish off this category. What runner was the subject of two Hollywood biopics in the late 1990s?
What runner?
Steve Prefontaine. Jared Leto played him in Prefontaine in 1997 and Billy Crudup in Without Limits in 1998. Yep. What plant was once the preferred material for pole vaulter poles?
What plant?
Mm-hmm.
Bamboo?
Bamboo is correct. An improvement over wood, it gave way to metal. Today, fiberglass is the popular choice. All right, last question for tonight. The Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is a national series of 5-kilometer runs that raises money to fight what disease?
Cancer.
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer is correct. Well, thank you, Alan and Charlie, for joining me here. And remember, no amount of evidence will ever persuade an idiot.